Number 12 as our text this morning. And we're going to begin, we're just going to take these first two verses as our text this morning of this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul gives us here a very important lesson, one that too often maybe we take for granted, too often we ignore. And it's something that we cannot, as the child of God, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is this particular lesson that Paul is teaching us here in these two verses, we cannot afford to ignore it. It is all important for us daily. All important for us daily. Notice what he says here in this passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is what we are called to give unto our Lord. There are so many of us today that are very easily overwhelmed with life. Life is busy. Life demands so much of us. I mean, each and every day, we're trying to fit everything in, what needs to be done. And then we get to the end of the day and say, well, I didn't get nothing done. And so I've got to, we put it on to the next day and then the next day. And it seems like our day is just filled up. And it's so very easy for us to be so overwhelmed and so filled with the responsibilities of life that spiritually we find ourselves wandering aimlessly. It's like it's what takes the back seat seemingly so often. That the things of Christ, the things of God, well, I'll take care of that later. I'll do this later on this evening. I'll sit down then and open the Scriptures. I'll sit down then and spend some time in prayer. And midnight rolls around and we're climbing into bed and saying, well, I didn't do nothing. And so much of the time we spend our lives like Israel in the desert, just making circles. We as a culture today, and I'm talking about a Christian culture, I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians, who strive to be faithful in some way to the Lord. We as a Christian culture, we as church culture, put very little intention in our service to the Lord. Very little intention in our service. Because all we can do is life. We're covered over with it. We come to church when we can or when we feel like it. We read the Scriptures when we make time for it. We pray. And that prayer oftentimes becomes a passing event of our day. Oh, yeah. Maybe I need to pray. We spend very little time being intentional in our service to the Lord. And in that, we still put the same the same amount of expectation on God to give blessing to us, to help us, to do for us. We put the same expectation on Him. But we put very little on ourselves. Paul says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Listen to this, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
It's the least we can do to give God all of ourselves. The least. He begins here in verse 1 and he uses this phrase, I beseech you. Paul begs them here. Listen, he says, listen to what I'm saying. By the mercies of God, listen to what I'm saying. Paul begging them, he is describing here the importance of this reality for our lives. The necessity of this in our service and in our lives for the Lord. And Paul isn't preaching to them here with legalism. He's not thundering down from Sinai on this. He is appealing to our very hearts because of what God has constantly poured out for us. Look at all the mercies God's poured out on. Please listen, Paul says. Please listen to what I'm teaching. Please listen to what I want you to get here. Look what all God has done for you. I beg you, he says. I beg you. Give yourselves to Him. Give yourselves to Him. This is a language here of grace that Paul is declaring to them. We know that we are unworthy of the least of our Lord's blessings. And it is His mercies that are extended to us in Christ Jesus. It is His mercies that bring forgiveness of sin and eternal life and right of sonship, all in that finished work of Christ. God is constantly pouring out blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing on His people. Paul says, I beg you, because of all that God does for you, I beg of you, listen. Present your bodies, he says. This phrase right there, for bodies, that word literally means all that makes us up. He's not just talking about the flesh, for the flesh is included in this, but it is literally what we are made up of, every part of us, the whole being, especially our mind and will. Especially our mind and our will. When a sacrifice was offered there in the Old Testament, the sacrifice is brought there to the priest to whether it being for a sin offering that was given on behalf of that particular person. When they brought that animal for sacrifice, it was given to the Lord and it was be disposed of by the Lord's direction according to His will, with no part of it left for the one who brought the animal. The whole thing was given to the Lord. There was no part. Oh, when you all get done, can you hand me the tenderloin out of that? There was no part left for them. They were bringing that as a sacrifice. That whole animal was given for the Lord on their behalf. It was given to the Lord as an offering to Him. The whole thing was given. No part was kept out. Likewise, Paul here is calling us to give all of ourselves as a sacrifice to our Lord. Now, God does not call us to kill ourselves for Him. There are nuts out there that try to claim that's what God has called them to, but that's never what God calls us to. He's not calling us to kill ourselves for Him. Our service for Him may require your life. It may require your health. But He's calling us as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. He's already done the dying. We're called to give ourselves as a living sacrifice for our Lord. And so we are to give all of ourselves for Him. We are to give every part of ourselves without holding any part of it back. And listen, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with the Lord this morning, our sacrifices that we give unto Him, oftentimes we're holding parts back. Well, Lord, I'll give you this, but I really need to hang on to this for myself this week. Lord, I'll serve you in this, Lord, but I've got to keep this part back for me. And so often our sacrifices are not sacrifices. They are offerings that we are keeping back and holding parts of for ourselves. And this is not what He's called. He has called us to give all of ourselves unto Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 20. Paul reminds us here of who we are in Christ Jesus. And he says, "For we are bought with a price." That's after he told us there in verse number 19, "You're not your own. You're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He's bought us unto Himself. We no longer belong to me. We no longer belong to self. We are bought in Christ Jesus. All of me belongs to Him. Amen. There's no part for me any longer. I'm His servant. I've been bought by Him. I belong to Him. He owns every part of me. Amen. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 20. Philippians 1 verse 20, Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul says, no matter what comes my way, my desire is to magnify my Lord in my flesh, that He might be glorified in me, in my service, that He would be glorified in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 10. Let me back up and read verse 8 here and give a little bit more context to what he's saying. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul says again, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is an act, that is an act of the will. It is an act of the will. We are to place our total personalities at the disposal of the Lord. Lord, you do with me as you please. Lord, you do with me as you please. I belong to you. To sacrifice our lives, our goals, our ambitions, our careers, our possessions, our needs, our wants, our desires. I sacrifice all of those things. I lay all of those things down at the feet of my Lord that I may serve Him with a whole heart.
Amen.
That reality, what He's calling us to here, has to be done daily. Every single day. Listen, we're going to do it weekly, or we're going to do it monthly, or we're just going to do it one time in our lives. We're going to be miserable servants of the Lord. And we're going to be ate up with self. We have to give ourselves to the Lord. We have to offer every part of ourselves to Him daily. We need to start our day out with that. And there'll be many times through the day when we have to keep coming back and doing it again. Because self always rises up. Self always comes up in the midst of it. And we have to keep dying to self and giving ourselves to the Lord. Daily, this has to be done. It's part of our daily worship to the Lord. A conscious effort to die to self and live unto Christ. This takes, now when we realize the depth of what the Lord is telling us to do here in His Word, when He's saying to us here to give ourselves a living sacrifice, to literally give absolutely every part of ourselves to our Lord, we realize this is a very hard thing to do. Because to give all of myself means I have to fully trust and have faith in my Lord that He's going to do as He pleases and it's going to be for my good. And quite frankly, when self is built up and pride is swelling in us, we don't think we need the Lord. Sometimes we don't trust Him enough. Sometimes we say, well, you know what? I can handle that myself. I don't want, Lord don't have to do, I can do this. And we simply don't trust Him. We simply don't believe Him. And so many times when we come to Him and our desire is to do this very thing that Paul is telling us to do here, we're struggling with that holding back a little bit. I think I'll try to handle this myself. That's where we need to make it a part of our prayer before the Lord. Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, help me to trust You. Because You don't belong to you. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. He owns you. He bought you. He bought you. Every bit of who you are, His. Paul says, give it to Him. Give it to Him. Because it does take such faith and trust. It's sometimes scary to trust Him with all of it. It ought not be. It ought not be. But it's just the reality of who we are in the flesh. We trust ourselves so much more. We put so much stock in what we know and what we can do. We put so much hope in our strength and in our ability. And it doesn't take too long to figure out when we fall flat on our faces, boy, I don't have nothing. I don't have no strength at all. I don't have no ability at all. I don't have the strength to even stand. And then what do? The next time. We do it all over again. You know, you think after we fall and fall and fall and fall over and over again, stumbling over our own selves, you think that we would eventually get it. No, I need God. He's the one that has to give me the strength. He's the one that has to empower me. He's the one that has to hold me up. He's the one that has to go before me. He's the one that has to carry me along this way. We put so much stock in ourselves. We put so much stock in our own strength. We continually hold these little pieces back. We continually hold back and trust in self. We're to give all of ourselves to Him. First of all, we're to do that because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. I mean, He took our place. He died in our place, taking the punishment of my sin and your sin upon Himself and bearing it to the cross for us. And then in turn, not only bearing our sin for us, making that payment for us to forgive us of those sins, but then He also gives to us His righteousness that makes us holy and right before the throne of God. That I'm not just forgiven. I'm not just forgiven. I'm made perfect before the throne of God. In His eyes. In Christ Jesus. And I still fail miserably. I still trust self too much. I still come short daily. daily. As Charles Spurgeon said one time, talking about the question was presented to him about losing his salvation, if one could lose his salvation. And he said, if it could be possible, if it could be possible that one could lose salvation because of sin, he said, alas, this fickle, feeble soul would fall 10,000 times a day. I don't have to keep myself saved. My Lord keeps me.
Amen.
He's done it all. He's paid for it all. He's kept us in Himself. My friends, He's absolutely worthy of every part of you. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. John here is seeing a heavenly vision here in the book of the Revelation. He's seeing these things there in glory around the throne of God. And he tells us a little bit about what he sees here in chapter 4 and chapter 5. You need to go read all of those two chapters, particularly on this particular point. But I just want to read a couple of three verses out of it for you here in this passage. Verse 11 of chapter 4. These 24 elders are sitting around the throne there of God, and they are praising and worshiping the Lord. And they said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy," they say. Then in chapter number 5, verse number 9 there, down through verse number 12. He says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." My friends, our Lord is absolutely worthy of everything you can give Him.
Amen.
Everything that you can give Him. He deserves all of us because He owns all of us. Paul says here, it is our reasonable service, the very least that you and I can do is to give Him all of ourselves. To give Him every part of us. Now to do that, He goes on to tell us here in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not to fashion ourselves after this world and those that are in it. Too many times in our lives we allow the world to influence us. Media, culture, friends, our own self-desires. They'll take our attention away from the Lord and away from eternal things, and we begin to trust others. We begin to trust other opinions. We even trust our own abilities as the guide and strength of our lives. But Peter reminds us we're not to be like the world. We're made different. We're made different. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, he says we're made a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Yeah, we look strange to this world. And the further our culture goes away from God and the further they get away from the truths of the Scripture, the more weird we look. I mean, we look weirder and weirder and weirder to them. And when you look weird to the Lord, or to the world, because of the Lord, glorify His name. Because we are made a peculiar people in Him. Peter says that over in 1 Peter chapter 2 is where he says that to us. Verse 9 is where he makes that point of our peculiarity. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. He says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And he uses that same language there in verse number 11 as well in regards to our strangeness to this world, because he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Strangers and pilgrims. "Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." We are strangers and pilgrims, and we're just traveling through. We're the Lord's people traveling through for eternity. We get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in the conforming to this world that we take our eyes off of the big picture. We take our eyes off of reality. We begin to think like this world. We begin to think like this culture, that this is reality. And it's not. This is just temporary. This is just for a time. And that time is very short. That time is fleeting quickly. What is real is eternity. That's what's real. That's where our eyes are to be fixed. That's where our heart is to be. That's what we are to be seeking after. That which is eternal, because that's what's real. That's what's real. But we can become so focused on this. We can become so focused on this world that we simply are not even aware, it seems, at times of eternal. Worried about today. Worried about tomorrow, worried about next week, worried about what's getting done or what's not getting done, or what I'm going to do here, what I'm not going to do there. And we get so consumed with this, with our own opinions of ourselves, with others' opinions of us. We become so confused in daily life that we take our eyes off of the main picture. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Listen, people are watching us all the time. All the time. They know that person is a Christian. That person goes to church every Sunday morning. They're there every time the doors are open. They are watching you. And they want to see, is this stuff you say you believe, is it real in your life? Is it real to you? They want to know if we're a hypocrite or are we really showing the work of Christ in our lives. In order to do that, we have to be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, he says, but be ye transformed. That word transformed there is the Greek word for metamorphosis. We're no longer the caterpillar crawling on the leaf, but now we're the butterfly. The butterfly of God's grace. That's what Paul's talking about there. That's the kind of change that he's speaking to. The same word is used in Matthew chapter 17, speaking of the transfiguration of the Lord there when he is on the mount. And he is changed there in the presence of the disciples there on the mountain. Elijah and Moses come to him to talk there with him on the mountain. And he's transformed there before him. He's transfigured. He's metamorphosized there in their presence. That they no longer saw the person of Christ. They saw the holy image of him. I love Peter's response to that. And what he saw there that day. He says, Lord, it was good for us to be here. Let's build us some tabernacles, right? We'll build you a tent. We'll build Isaiah or Elijah a tent. We'll build Moses a tent. And we'll just stay right here. I don't need to go anyplace else. I've seen everything I need to see. I'm fine right here. That's all I need to see. Just seeing that glimpse of the holiness of his Lord. That's the same word Paul's talking about here. That we'll be changed. That we're not going to look like the rest of the world. That the light of Christ would shine through us in our life. That we would be transformed before this world to shine forth Christ to those that we are around. Be ye transformed. That happens by the renewing, he says, of your mind. That is a daily submission of our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to the Lord, giving him all of ourselves every single day. It has to be intentional, and it has to be part of our daily worship for him. A living sacrifice to our Lord. Holy and acceptable unto him. And that can only be done with Christ in us. And when we do, when we offer him ourselves, when we trust him with all of me, Paul says here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, the more we give ourselves to the Lord, the more we give ourselves a living sacrifice to him, the more that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind daily before his presence, the more we do that, the more we find out he is absolutely perfect. His will for my life is just where I need to be. What we find out in the giving of ourselves, there's no reason. The more we give him, the more we see there's no reason for me to hold anything back for me. Because he's going to prove to you. He's going to prove to you his way is the best way for you. His way is the best way for you. That it will be for you good. That word acceptable there means pleasant. It's not only good, it's great. God's will for us, it's good. It's pleasant. It's acceptable to us. It is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. God's will for our lives. Trust Him. Trust Him. Give yourself wholly to Him. Submit yourselves fully to your Lord. He will always do right for you. Always do right for you. He always has your best interest at heart. And He knows it. He knows it better than you ever will. Every time we trust self, we fail. And we fail miserably. How often have we done this in our lives? Over and over and over again. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He loves you more than you can fathom. More than you can fathom. His will is good, acceptable, pleasant, and perfect. For you. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. Give all of yourself to Him. Let's all stand. Brother Gordon, would you bring us a song now?